Yesterday we left off speaking about the Mishnah with regards to the payment that the Mishnah mentions when it says that from the parah you pay chati nezek and from the vlad you pay a quarter nezek, rivah nezek. So the Gemara says it did make sense. So we had two possibilities. One answer was the answer of Abaye, which Abaye says that a half and a quarter are really, right, a quarter and an eighth. In that it's their portion of the nezek that could be paid in total, which is the 50% of the total nezek. Have that 50%, right, half of it belongs to the Bala Para, and a quarter of it belongs to the Vladot. That'll come out that the Para is chayv for 25% of the nezek, and the Vlad is chayv for, right, 12.5% of the nezek. Rava gave an alternative answer, and that's what we ended up with yesterday. Is Rava's answer says that it's a para and vlad dechat. Because the way Rabbi has to set up the Mishnah, it's a case where the para and the vlad belong to different individuals, and that's why they have independent claims. Or they can make the bala para can be docha the nizak, it's all the vlad to collect at least a portion from the nizak. Whereas Rava says, no, the vlad and the para belong all to one individual. Right? And that, what we're discussing over here is migufo aspect. The migufo aspect is what am I entitled to collect from the para, and what am I entitled to collect from the vlad. So the para, I can try to collect up to a half, but I'm entitled to collect up to nezek. If that nezek, right, if that does not meet the amount of nezek that was done, then I may collect also out of the vlad, or if the para is not available, I can collect out of the vlad. But out of the vlad, I can only collect up to a maximum of a quarter nezek. I can't collect a full half nezek out of the vlad, but only a quarter nezek because of this suffix. So the Gemara says, starting on the top of Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, Taima Delo Yadina. He have a vlad b'hadoki nazka. He lo have a. Right? Our question is whether the vlad was inside the para when he did the damage, or not inside the para when he did the damage, because right then we have a question as to whether the vlad is a partner in the damage. Avali pshit v'ondav vlad b'hado. But if it was, we'd be certain that the vlad was inside the mother. Kinavka, when she gored, mishtalim kulei chatinezek mevlad. That would indicate, or the possibility would be there, that you could take the entire chatinezek from the vlad. Meaning that we look at a single entity that did damage now. The entity is called para vivlada. And you could take chatinezek out of any portion of that entire entity. So Rava the Tameh. So what's the reason for this? Rava is according to his own reason. Dama Rava, para shezika gova mivlada. Right? A para that did damage, you can take your compensation out of its vlada, out of its fetus, maitaima, gufahi, because it's a part of its body. And it's like any other limb on the para. And since it's like any other limb on the para, you can take collection out of this vlad. Tarnagolas, shehizika, ena gova mi beisata. On the other hand, a tarnagolas that does damage, you may not collect out of the beitza, out of the egg. So my taima, what's the reason over there by the tarnagolas? The beitza is not considered a partner in doing the damage. It says, because perishu ba'almuhu. And so perishu ba'almuhu, Rashi describes as davar hamufrash mimena, something that is separated from it. And perishu ba'almu, I think in other places, has a more negative interpretation that gets waste. But over here, obviously the egg is not a waste, but that is detached from the body. So if it's detached from the body, we don't consider it to be a part or an entity that is part of the chicken. If it's not a part of the chicken, it does not be, the claim cannot be brought against the egg as well as the chicken.
It was expensive. What stage the
right, very good.
Right,
so that's so that's that question. What about, very good. So you're mentioning here that trefa, who has an egg, we say that the egg is not kshera. So you see there that we look at the egg as being part of the chicken. So that's what this says over here, as Tzvi correctly pointed out, that it's got to do with me'ura v'gidin. At what stage does the egg become separate from the chicken, and what stage is the egg considered to be a part of the chicken? It makes a difference for a number of items, whether it's fleishik, the egg, versus whether it's parv. Right, whether the egg is part of the chicken, meaning it would be a tray for me right? So, and also for here, for nizakin, it would make a difference whether the egg is independent of the chicken or not. Now, with regards to tray, there happens to be even So the Gemara basis says that any egg that comes out today was nigmara me'etmol, was finished yesterday. Very good, right? The Gemara basis. Even so, if you have a trefa that became a trefa today, and the egg is born today, we still say that that egg is a trefa, midor abonon, because we don't want any confusion. But generally, midor eiser, right, it would only be a problem if it became a trefa while the egg was still being developed inside of the chicken. Alright. Now, the Gemara says, Shimata, where we Amar Rabba. Ain't shem in the para b'fnatzma, but vlad b'fnatzma. Then when we look at the value of a para and the value of a vlad that were, for instance, damaged, we don't look at them independently as two separate entities. El shem in the vlad agav para. We look at them as a single entity, a pregnant cow. We don't look at a cow and a fetus. We look at a pregnant cow. Sheim ata omer kein nimtza ata machish et mazik. Because if you do that, you end up hurting the mazik. Because it will be, or the value of a para and a fetus will be greater than a pregnant para. If you look at it as a single entity, that will reduce the amount of nezek. V'chein atam museh v'kotei yad avdosho chavero. This is, you find true, is a person who cuts off the arm of his friend's eved. We don't look at it as an independent question, how much would someone pay to have their arm cut off. Rather, look at it, how much someone would pay for an eved with an arm, and how much would someone pay for an eved without an arm. Again, that would reduce the quote-unquote nezek versus looking at it as an independent item and saying what would someone pay to cut off their arm. Same thing with the field of your friend. If you go in there and damage, or your animal goes in there and damage, we don't say, okay, how much damage they do in this little square area. We look at the entirety of the field, or we look at the beit da'ah, a large stretch or area of the field, and we say, well, how much is this field worth right now? And how much is the field was worth more before you did that little patch of damage? Again, that will reduce the value of the damage, because had you look at just a square area, people would view that as much greater value than versus over a large expanse.
Very good.
Right, what do you mean? If that's the din, that's it. You know, let the mazik pay. I mean, why should you, as David pointed out, why should you give any advantage to the mazik over here? Because he says, Hashem Damale, Param Mavarta Ziktach, Param Mavarta Shaminamach. Says, because I damaged a pregnant cow, and therefore I'm going to pay you a pregnant cow. I mean, that there is the item or the issue that we're looking at is the bigger picture. Right? We're looking at an eved, we're looking at a pregnant cow, and we're looking at a tzedek. We're not looking at an arm, right, a fetus, and a patch, because that's not how people view these types of items. If you ask someone how people view these items, again, if people look at an item, they look at a cow that's walking down the street, they say pregnant cow, they don't say cow and fetus. Right? That's how they look at it. And when you look at an eved, right, they look at eved with arm, eved without arm, they look at, oh, eved, okay, now arm on the side, how do we put, right, that's not the way people view it. Same thing with the sadeh. People don't look at a specific patches, maybe with vegetables they would. Gemara's view, that's how the mazik can make his claim, which is that the way people view sadeh. So Gemara says, shita. Paradachad, the vlad dachad, if the para belongs to one and the vlad belongs to another, pitma, the bala para, the pounds put on during pregnancy belong to the bala para. The additional weight gained during pregnancy, that belongs to the para, the baby weight. Now, nafkomai, what about the volume or expanse that the para has now? Obviously, you know, this is not common for us, but in there, you know, when you sold the paros, and you looked at him, you said, a big fat cow was worth a lot more than a little skinny cow. So therefore, now that it's pregnant, it looks bigger and fatter, which will give it additional value. So that nafka, that volume or expanse that is given to the cow from the fact that there's a fetus inside, who gets the benefit of that? Rav Amar the bala para. That belongs to the bala para, to the owner of the para. Vaka Brei the Ika says that Chokim, they split it. They look at the Chokim, that they both get a portion of that. Again, the fat, the ubar, or the owner of the ubar, cannot make any claim on, because the fat literally belongs to the mother. I mean, the mother put on the weight, and the weight is in the mother. I mean, the weight won't go away when the baby is born. The nafka is something that is increased through the ubra that's in there, but in the end, it's the expanse of the para itself that's getting sold. So the fact that the piece contributes to that expansion, we say, chokim, that they each get a portion of it. Okay, new Mishnah. A kedar, sheikh nis kedar otav chatzer balabayit. You have a either a seller or a maker of pitchers, right, that brings or clay wears, they bring it into a chater of the owner, shelo birshut, without permission, v'shavra behem tosho balabayit, and then the owner's animal goes ahead and tramples on them, destroys them, patur. And the balabayit is patur because he didn't have permission to be there. V'im huska behem, right, if the animal gets hurt by these earthenware vessels being there, balakterot chayav, the person who puts the clay in temple says chayav, because he put them there again without permission. V'imich nis birshut, and then if he brings them in with permission, balachaser chayav, the owner of the chaser is chayav, because he gave him permission. Alright, now we have to, later on the Gemara will discuss exactly what is the balachaser on the hook for. Alright, hechnis perutav lechaser balabayit shelo birshut. The next case is where he brings in fruits into the chaser balabayit without permission, vachaltan behemto shel balabayit, and the owner of the animal goes ahead and has lunch or snack on these animals, on these, I'm sorry, these perutav, on these fruits. Patur, again, the Baal Bayit is patur because you didn't have permission to place them there. Bimuskaba, and if it slips on them and falls on them and somehow damages the animal, Baal Perot, Chayav, then the owner of the Perot who put them there is Chayav. Vim Yechnis Pershut, if you put them in with permission, Baal Chaser Chayav, then the owner of the Chaser is Chayav because by giving permission he becomes culpable. Again, we'll have to discuss for what. Yechnis Sharol Chaser Baal Bayit, right, so again, he brings in his short to the Chaser Baal Bayit, Lov Pershut, again, he does a without permission. Alright, so then, v'nachosh rosh ala balabayit, and then it goes ahead and gores the shore of the balabayit. Osh nashkok al bosh balabayit. I'm sorry, the shore of the balabayit damaged it, or the dog of the balabayit damaged this animal that was there, patur. Again, the balabayit is patur because you didn't have permission to put your shore there. Now, gahu shorosh al balabayit, the other way around. If this shore, visiting shore, which didn't have permission to be there, goes ahead and gores the, or does damage to the balabayit property, then chayav. Now, foul. Falls into its a pit, right, and it dries out the waters that are there, and it's chayav. Haya avivu b'nodos tilcho, mishalem. Ratzin. You're good. Ba'ash yo'or. You're good. That's right. I think you're right. Right, so he falls in there and he spoils or sullies the waters, right, that are in the boar, then he is chayav for the damage done, because again, he's there without permission. Aya avivo benodo toko, his father or his son were working inside there, mishalem et koper. So he does damage to them. I don't know if it's necessarily they're in the boar or they're next to when he gets this shore kills the father or his son, then he pays koper. And that again, the Gemara's going to have to discuss, because koper is only available when there's a mu'ad and not when there's a tam. And who says here that we're discussing a mu'ad? Again, if he has permission of the Baal HaChatzer, then he's going to be Chayav. Rebbe Omer, Lomenu Chayav, Ad Shikabel Alav Lishmor, or Ad Shikabel Alav, right, Habal Abayit Lishmor. Either way, but the idea here, and which was, I think you were pointing out earlier, Shaul and David, that the question at hand is, when you get permission, what does that mean? It's clear from Rabbi's statement that you're not chayav until you explicitly take responsibility for that which I'm giving permission. Doesn't mean I am accepting responsibility to watch. So that's what Gemara is going to say. Taima shelo birshut. Right? That the whole reason in our mission is that because you don't have permission. Habirshut, when it's with permission, lo v'chayav balak deroz v'nitzke behem to the balak hazer. Right? When he has permission to be there, we say that the owner of these earthenware utensils, when he puts them down there, he's not chayav for the damage done to the animal of the Baal HaChatzer. Below Amrina, Kibule Kabil Baal HaChatzer Nitzruta Dimto the Baal HaChatzer. Right, so from there, we see what? That we don't say that the Baal HaChatzer took responsibility to ensure that the animals running around in the Chatzer are not going to get injured by his Gderot. I mean, you gave him permission to put the Gderot here, maybe that means that he's, okay, fine, put them there, but make sure or ensure that nobody gets hurt with what you put there. We don't say that. So Mani, who's the author of that statement? Rabbi he. Alright, so that's the statement, that is the author, is Rabbi. So again, show that Rabbi would believe in that case, that's what? That there is no acceptance of responsibility. Damar, kol b'stama, lo kabel ani teruta. Because Rabbi has a principle that whenever it's not explicit, there is no such thing as implicit, right, demands placed on an item. If you say you have permission to go there, that's all we're talking about, is permission. We're not talking about shmira. From both sides, from both parties. Right now, the Gemara says, "Dema Seifa." What are you going to do with the second half of the Mishnah? Im Yichnis Pershut Baal HaChatzer Chayav. Right, then, if you put it in with permission of the Baal HaChatzer, you're Chayav. So that sounds like who? Atan Zerabana. That sounds like Rabbanan. The Amrei Bistama. Now we Kubulei Kabulei Nitiruta. Right? That in general, when you give permission to be in there, right, it's as if you've accepted responsibility to watch it. Vidu, and at the end of the Mishnah, we said, Rabbi Omer, right, or again, if the other gear that reads without balabayit, right, which is ajishmor, meaning that until you explicitly make a statement that you are taking responsibility to guard, you are not on the hook for it. So now you have resha the seifa rabbi. You have the implicit from the resha of the Mishnah. It sounds like rabbi is the author. Implicit from the seifa, which is not implicit, the explicit rabbi says that that's his position. And then the middle case where we say the bala chaser on stama. When he gives permission for the animal to be in there, then he becomes chayav. That implies that, right, that he accepted responsibility. When he said you had permission, he accepted responsibility. That goes according to Rabbanan and not according to Rabbi.
Which is the case of the Rabbanan?
The case where he gave permission. In pershut, chayav. Our Mishnah says if he gave permission, you are chayav. Why are you chayav? Why is the balabayit chayav when he gives permission? It must be that we say there's an implicit acceptance of responsibility over the items that are placed there when you give permission for someone to place the items there. So now you have Reisha v'Seifa Rabbi, Umetziyaf v'Rabbonan, and the middle case is the Rabbonan. Zahamar Rabbi Zera Tavra, Mishashana Zu, Lo Shana Zu. Break the Mishnah up, right? Meaning these are different Tanaim that are discussing either the position of the Rabbanan or the position of Rabbi, that they are not it's not a single, right, Tana explaining the Mishnah, which is a very commonplace. It's interesting in Bava Kamma, so many times do we see that recurring times or numerous times do we see this concept of Tavra Mishashana Zu, Lo Shana Zu. They break down the Mishnah and say there are multiple Tanaim, or that's not a single opinion in the Mishnah. This is just a general question. The general question about the Gemara is that the Gemara knew that there was a statement either by Rabbi Zera here or in others who made him earlier that Tavra Rabbi Yehuda Shinana, Tavra Mishashana Zu, Lo Shana Zu. They knew that this statement applied somewhere in Bava Kamma. And the Gemara is trying to find the locations where it belongs in the Mishnayot, or the other way around. They knew that these Mishnayot were problematic, and then that's where they applied. They knew that these Amoraim said it about these particular Mishnayot. So I don't know. It's unclear which came first. That they knew that this statement was made, and they didn't know where it applied, and therefore we're seeing it being applied throughout the Masechta, or that they knew the Amora addressed the specific Mishnah. This is a generic statement of Tavra Mishashana Zu, Lo Shana Zu. The generic statement doesn't necessarily address the particular Mishnah. Just a general question. Rav Amar, and then we usually have another Amora who says no, that Kula Rabbanani, that there is at least, right, we can explain this all to Rabbanan. Ubishuot, Shmirat Kiterot, Kibbalah, Baba Chatzer, Rafilo Nishburo Beruach. Now, we're talking about the whole Mishnah is the Rabbanan, right? And when you talk about Ubishuot, Shmirat Kiderot, what does it mean? Ubishut, Shmirat Kiderot Kibelalav. When he gives permission for it to come in there, right, then the Shmirat Kiderot, the Balabait, has accepted the Shmirah of the Kiderot. Balakater, Achilu Nishberu Beruach, even if they get broken by the wind. I mean, that there's not just a acceptance of responsibility in terms of his animals or his property doing damage. He's taken on broader responsibilities over here, and those broader responsibilities that even if they get broken by the world, the old v'antre lecha kamarle. When you say come in, it means I'm going to be shomer it. Aval balak derot lekabelele mide, but the balak derot didn't accept any form of responsibility. So that would be even like the Rabbanan, and this is the distinction that Shaul was making before, although the opposite direction, right? Here it's the Rabbanan, not Rabbi, but that there might be a difference between the balak hatzer and the balak derot. That when you give permission for the balak derot to bring its derot in, along with that permission, it means you have permission, plus I'm going to take care of them. By giving permission, it says, bring them in here and don't worry, I'll take care of them. On the other hand, that when the balak derot is given permission to go in there, the balak derot doesn't accept any responsibility whatsoever. He just got permission to put them there. He doesn't know what's going to be there, who's going to be there, what's going to happen. He just puts them down like the balabai told him, and he has no responsibility at all. So we distinguish between the one giving the permission and the one receiving the permission. The one giving the permission has now made an active statement. Within that active statement is included Shmirah. The one who's given permission, that's all that he heard. He said, I got permission. He didn't have any other responsibilities that were assigned to him. He didn't say anything. He didn't accept any other responsibilities.
That's all
according to
Rabbanan.
It's according to Rabbanan. All according to Rabbanan. The Rabbah says, the cooler Rabbanan. Right. All right. Now, here's Nei Sperotav HaChaser Balabayit. Amara lo shana shel chukla ka behen. That's the example I gave you in the Mishnah, knowing that this Gemara, but it only applies if the animal slipped on the payroll and got hurt. Aval achla patur, right? But if it eats it, right, it's patur. My time up, Right? Why
is
it? What?
The balaperis is patur.
The balaperis is patur for the injury done from the overeating or the miseating of the animal. So my time, what's the reason? Avalah shelo tochel, shouldn't have eaten. Meaning that the animal should be discerning, or it should not have picked up. This is not the way it should have conducted itself, and therefore it's its problem. So Amar Rav Sheshes, Amino Akinayim B'Shochei Rav Amar L'Hashmaita. So when Rav said these things, he was falling asleep, or this wasn't really a well thought out statement. Why? The Tanya, we have a Braisa. Notin Samamavet Lifnei Beimat Chaveru Patur Mitinei Adam Chayav Mitinei Shemaim. Someone who puts poison in front of an animal, and the animal eats it and then dies, then the person is patur midinei adam, and he's chayav midinei shemayim. Why? Well, it's groma ba'amo. He did not literally kill the animal. He only placed the poison there. The animal ate it. So you're patur because of the groma, but you're chayav midinei shemayim because you really did something that was not nice.
It's like it was the facilitating.
Right. Again, you're a groma, but it's pretty obvious that something bad could come out of this situation. Now, samamavet hu de lo avizachla, when we're talking about poison, then we say that the animal should stay away from it. The animal should smell it, should understand, should know that there's poison here and keep itself away from it. About perot, that based on this price, the diet would be that perot, regular food, davida de achla, that normally an animal would eat, we don't make the demand of the animal to stay away from it. Then, b'dini adam nami mechayev. You'd be responsible for it. So implicit from this price is that even if the animal ate and became damaged by that eating, you would be responsible for the damage done to the animal, and that would go against this position of Rav. V'amai, avalash lo tochal. According to Rav, he should have said it shouldn't have eaten it. I mean, it's the pala behemoth problem if his animal just eats too much or eats in an improper manner. Imri, who had din, afilu perot. No. We can say that the din is the same by some of it as by perot. So by perot, it also be nami poter midini adam. So, why does the Bryce then use the example of some of it, the poison versus peyrot? Maybe we should say, I mean, give the bigger chiddush. The bigger chiddush is when it's normal food, right, that you're also patur for all the damage done to the animal. So where it says, no, v'hakamashvelon, what's the chiddush here? The afil samamavet nami, the lo avida, the akwa, chay v'dinei shamayim. The chiddush is on the chiyuv side. That by samamavet, where animals would not normally eat this type of item, right, the chiddush is that they're still chayav in dinei shamayim for placing the samamavet there. V'bay zema. So some can say that some of it nami bibrasta, that the case of some of it here is not that it's poison, independent poison sitting there, but rather it's a certain type of vegetation that is poisonous to animals. It looks like some sort of greens that animals eat that is poisonous to them, and the animal is not discerning in that manner because it's not obvious to it that it's not food over here. So it's food, and nevertheless we say potami jay adam and chayab is in its mind, the hainu parent. Because then it becomes like perot, it's the equivalent of perot. It's not some of it versus perot, but rather it's some of it that looks like perot, which means that the whole din in this price is perot, and that'll be just like Rav's din. Alright, now, meitzvah. Aisha shenichnasa l'tchon chitin etzel balabayit. A woman goes into the balabayit's place to grind, to mill her wheat, or wheat kernels. Alright, shelo kershut, but sure she doesn't have permission. V'chotan b'entosha balabayit. And the balabai's animal eats them patur, right? Because she didn't have permission to be there. Im huzka chayevet, right? Well, if the animal gets damaged from her wheat being there, then what? Chayev, she's chayevet to repay the balabai. Vamai, name avala shlotofa. Why don't we make the rab's position that if she can say to the balabai, your animal should not have eaten them? Say imre umi adipa mi masnisen. Wait a minute. This statement, I don't see the word eat over here. All I said was that she's chayevet. So how is this any different than our mission? Our mission also says bala chaser. Right, the bala beima is patur, and then the bala kederos is chayav for damage or huskah, then the bala kederos is chayav. Right, so our mission says no thing. When it says generic chayav, it meant imhuklaka. That's what Rav said. He qualified the statement. The ukim na shuklaka ben. Right, so then that he's listening. So when I said, "Luskari la makayari la," what was the questioner thinking over here? Well, what question did he think over here? See, I'm a fish. So my matznis and katini im chuska bahen. The word bahen was there. That it got damaged by them. Not that it got damaged, but got damaged by them. Shehukla bahen. Who? Avahach katani im chuska. If a lok tani bahen, it got damaged, but not bahen. Right, man, that would suggest that it's somehow on them or by them it got damaged, but rather just it got damaged. Which implies that he will hold the tani. Vidach, I'm going to call Oshna. Doesn't make a difference. Huska, b'en. Either one you can say is talking about flipping on them and not eating them. Tashma, Hiknish Shoro Luchaser Balabayit. Prison brings in a shore to the Chaser Balabayit, Lo Birshut. V'chal Chitin v'hitriz. Omate. Goes in and eats wheat. And then it is hitriz. I'm not exactly. Not so sure what that means, that it got a stomachache. Yeah, it got some kind of stomachache, or sorority mate, and dies from that stomachache patur. If he brings in permission, right? And the balaz is chayav. Why? Because amai. Havalei, according to Rav, shalo yochal. You can say to him, what do you do eating this stuff? So, maravar b'shut, ashlo b'shut, karamit. We're asking a question from permission to not permission. B'shut, shmirat shiro, kibibalav. And if he has permission, then he intended or should have taken care to ensure that the Shmirat HaShor was, the shore was taken care of. V'achimilu chanak et atzmo. Even if it choked itself, even if it, something else happened to it. So the Baal HaKasher, once he gives permission to the Baal HaShor to bring his shore in there, then that's a different classification than when we're talking about without permission. Without permission here, all of a sudden the shore shows up there, and we say, he ate this stuff, he got sick. We say to him, look, he shouldn't have eaten it, right? He shouldn't have been dabbling in this stuff. But whereas over here, when we're talking about a case where he gave full permission to come in, when he gave full permission, he means, like we said above, I accept responsibility for your shore now. Permission to put your shore in here means, bring your shore, I will take care of your shore. That means if your shore gets damaged, no matter how it gets damaged, not just because of my shore and my property damage, but even if a shore from the outside comes in or anything else happens to your shore, I am now the shomer of this shore. And if it gets damaged, any way it gets damaged, I'm responsible for it. So if it goes and eats and then gets damaged or gets a stomachache or dies from it, I'm responsible because I accepted on myself shmirah for that animal to watch over to ensure that that animal is taken care of. All right. Yibailu. Mahu. Right, when he accepts responsibility for the animal, right, what is the classification and what type of responsibility is he accepted? Now here, according to the Rabbanan, this is Sama, if he didn't say anything. When he comes in to give him permission to come in, what type of responsibility is he accepted? According to Rebbe, where he explicitly says, Ani Eshmerenu, I will accept it. So what type is it? The Nafshe Hu the Kabbalay? Or the Afilo Nitiruta the Alma Kabbalay? Right, meaning that when he accepts responsibility, does he say simply, my animals, or what's contained in the chaser, will not damage your animal? When he says, you have permission to come in, place your animal here, he means, place it here, and I will ensure that none of my property does damage to it. But he is not ensuring that outside elements will not damage the animal. Or do we say, no, that acceptance of responsibility means he accepts it for full responsibility for the animal. There's a tashma. The Tani review, the Bar Simon, bin Izakin, the Beikarno. And so Rabbi Simon learned in the Nizakina Pekarna, Hichnis Perutav Chatzer Balabayim, brings in his Perut and Bachadar El Shalom Dershut without permission, Ubashor Mimakam Acher. The shore comes from somewhere else, Ve'achlan Patur, and eats them, you are Patur. Ve'im Hichnis Dershut, if he brings in his permission, Chayav. Oh, he's Chayav. Man Patur, Man Chayav. Who are we talking about here? That's Patur and Chayav, obviously. Lav Patur Balachatzer, Ve'chayav Balachatzer. Right, the Baal HaKasher, who at first said, didn't give him permission to be there, and then he puts his perot down, and then a outside shore comes and eats them, he is patur. He didn't accept responsibility. Whereas, if he gave permission to put the perot there, and an outside shore comes and eats them, the Baal HaKasher is on the hook for that because he gave him permission.
He
did. In the second case, he gave permission, and then he's chayav. So in that case, where he gave him permission, he's chayav for, right, everything. Even if an outside shore comes and eats the perot. So what are you going to say to me, right? Imre? No. Patur, look, Patur is Balashor, Chayav Balashor. No, the Patur and Chayav are referring to the third party, sure. Right? So then...
Even if he got permission...
No, so now from the third party, sure, the question you have to ask me, who cares if he has permission to put them there or not put them there? I mean, if he puts them there with permission or without permission, why does the third party shore comes and eats them? Why should it make a difference in whether he's Chayav or Patur? In either case, this shore ate property that did not belong to him, right? And he's in a place that doesn't belong to him. He's in someone else's rishus. He's eating someone else's perot. Should be Chayav in both instances. Why is there an instance where he is Patur?
There's a difference between if the perot is separated to be there, then
Peres have a right to be there. There's two problems. The Peres do have a right to be there, and he does not have a right to be there. So he's right. But in the other case,
right, so Shaul's suggestion is correct, although not exactly. You're making a distinction, right? But the distinction has to be the halachic distinction, and what do we know about shame? There is a halachic distinction in shame, which is called Reshut HaNizak and Reshut HaRabim. So that's it. That's exactly what the Gemara is going to formulate over here. V'Ibal HaShur, my Reshut. Right, what does it mean, permission and not permission? When you have permission to there, then it becomes Reshuta Nizak. Because your fruits are in a place where they belong, and then therefore you become partners with the individual whose property it is, since you have permission to be there, and then it becomes Reshuta Nizak. B'shem Reshuta Nizak, Chayevet. Shalom Reshut, what is the case of Shalom Reshut? Avila Shem Reshut Arabim. Because you do not have permission to be there. Since we both do not have permission to be there, that's the equivalent of being in a place where we both have permission to be there, or the equivalent of Reshuta Rabim. And when we talk about Reshuta Rabim, right, then we know Shem Reshuta Rabim is Turah. Because the Shem Reshuta Rabim, we are Patur. Okay, what's that? Right, Tashma. If Nishara the Chaser Balabait Shalom Birshut, Uba Shor Mimakam Acher Menachol Patur. Right, so again, he can't permission, he didn't have permission to put a shore in there, then a third party shore comes and damages him, he's patur. If you put it in permission, chayav. Man patur, uman chayav. Again, who's patur and chayav? Right, so what are you going to say? La patur bala chater, v'chayav bala chater. That's due to the bala chater acceptance of responsibility. When he didn't have permission, the bala chater is not on the hook for anything. When he gives the permission, he's on the hook for everything, even outside of third party damage. Well, patur bala shore, v'chayav bala shore. Now we're talking about the Baal HaShor himself of being Patur and Chayav. What? The third party Shor that is coming in here, correct? Yochi, my Bershut, Umay Shlo Bershut. Then what do you mean permission and not permission, right? That it should be irrelevant. So Ika, what's that because? Imri, Hamani, Rabbi Tarfon, this is going to Rabbi Tarfon. What do we know about Rabbi Tarfon? Amar, Mishun, the Karen, Bechazer, and Izak. Nezek, Shalem, Mishalem. So Bershut, so then again, Rabbi Tarfon has a differentiation between Reshut and Izak and Reshut Rabim. According to Rabbi Tarfon, Reshut Rabim, you only chayav chatsi nezek by Karen, and Reshut and Izak, you're chayav nezek shalem. So therefore, you can now make a distinction like we made by Shane between Reshut and Izak and Reshut Rabim. Why? Bershut, have like Karen, Bechatzer, and Izak, Meshalem, nezek shalem. So that's what it means, chayav. Shelo Bershut, have like Karen, Reshut Rabim. Shelo Bershama, chatsi nezek. What does it mean? Patur? Patur means me nezek shalem, chayav in Chatzi Nezek. Okay, we'll stop over here. That's a better place to start.